The Bible says that he's a liar and he's a thief. Jesus said he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so I'm announcing to you, if you've had some money stolen from you, you know how that happens. Man, things pop up and you say, "Whoa, man, where'd that come from?" You know, I had other ideas for that money. Things come up, equipment, situation, real life on this earth comes up. You know, we're not, when we talk about believing in the invisible to receive in the visible is an important principle that we have here. We're not talking about fantasy. We're talking about Bible fact. There's a big difference between Disney World fantasy or movie fantasy and the Bible word view of fact. And, we're believing in the real. What the Bible talks about in the spiritual realm is a greater reality than what we can feel, touch, see, taste, whatever. All right? And so I'm telling you, there's a lot for us to believe for. And so it's very, very exciting for us. But what I'm trying to tell you is that it's so important that you capture this. We understand in this human journey, in this life, we understand you're going to take hits. You're going to take some blows. Man, sometimes life presents a dark tunnel for you to walk through. And sometimes in that dark tunnel, you can't hear or see or feel or touch anything. And what's really amazing, because I've been through some dark tunnels, and what's really amazing, sometimes in a dark tunnel, there's a curve that you weren't even expecting. And you say, "What?" You know, and it seemed like I'm going lower. Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus has never and will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so even in the dark tunnel, and this is where trust comes in, this is where faith comes in, even in the dark tunnel, he never leaves you nor forsakes you. Even when you can't hear, he's near. Even when you can't see, he will always be. And he's close. And he's as close as a breath away. He's as close as a heartbeat away. And this is where we practice by faith, relying and trusting in him and continuing to pour our heart out to him and to continue by faith receiving from him, because the dark tunnels are temporary. Okay, they're temporary because he's promised. He's promised he's a great shepherd. He's not a bad shepherd. He's a great shepherd. And our part is just to reach for him, to follow him, to hear the sound of his voice, even when you can't see him, even when you can't hear him. Know what his voice has said to you, and to follow him and to lean on him, to trust in him, to depend on him. When you humble yourself before him, I want to tell you, he's a right there God, and your rescue is on the way, God, because that's the way he is. And, we believe for rescue because he's promised, he's declared himself as our rescue. Well, I want to tell you, Psalm, we covered this last week, and I'm just going to mention this verse. This is not in your notes. You can write it down again. Should be in the notes from last week. But restore to me the joy of your salvation. That's Psalm 51:12. And I love that restore, because you know what? It's important for you to recognize if you are not there. It's okay to be honest about it. Boy, we spent a sermon on that. It's okay to be honest and open with the Lord. Lord, I'm not there. I've been hit with a case of sadness. Well, he's not shocked by that. He's not troubled by that. But what he wants is for you to bring it to him. If you try to pretend you're not sad, if you try to stuff it, you know how we stuff things. If you try to stuff it down in here, or if you determine by your human strength, well, I'm going to handle this myself. Well, where has that got you? What did that do for you? I'm telling you, let's bring it to him. He's not offended by it. He's not troubled by it. He's not frowning at you when you come. He's got a smile on his face towards you. He loves it when you bring your burdens to him, because he loves to practice the exchange of giving you his peace for trouble. Remember the Valley of Achor that we talked about in Hosea. In the Valley of Achor, in the Valley of Trouble, in the midst of your trouble, he brings a door of hope. And he will bring you back to rejoicing with great joy. And I want to tell you, that's what he loves to do. And I want to tell you, he's good at it. Let's let him be himself. And Psalm 51:12, you can just write that down and look at it later. It was last week, but restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. I love that, because that willing spirit, when you look it up, it means that he's very, very generous. He's not giving you just enough to survive. That may be all you receive, but he's got a whole lot more for you than survival. He's got thriving in mind for you. And he loves to give a kingdom-sized portion. He will receive all that you will. He will give all that you will receive. His giving is more than you're receiving. And that's how big he is. And so he loves to be your rescue. He's very generous. He's a generous. And I want to give you a little example from the, this is out of Leviticus. You don't have to turn there. But in Leviticus, it talks about the trespass offering. And the trespass offering is when you done somebody else wrong. Oh, yeah. This speaks of real life, doesn't it? Well, I want to tell you, in the trespass offering, there's instruction in the offering. In the Old Testament, it's instruction that, you know what? If you've done somebody else wrong, then you're to give them back as new what you have stolen or what you've taken or misused or abused. And so that's 100%. I mean, that's better than what it was in. I mean, your vehicle might have been 10 years old, but we're talking about 100%. We're talking about a new vehicle. And not only that, to show you the overwhelming restoration of God, because it's a picture of restoration. The Bible says, not only do you restore 100%, give back 100% of what was taken or what was abused, misused, but at the same time, you give 20% more. Is that beautiful? And so it's 120% of what was stolen or taken from you is what you receive back. Now, who does that? Does man do that? No. If you are relying on man, you're going to be offended. You know what we look to? The Lord. Now, I want to tell you what the Lord does. He says, hey, if the enemy comes to steal your peace, if he comes to steal your love life, if he comes to steal your joy, wait. The God of restoration himself, Jesus himself, is your offering. And I want to tell you what he'll do. He'll step into your life in that very arena where something's been stolen, because it's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he will step back into your life, and he will present to you better than what it was. 120%. How about that? Don't you love kingdom multiplication? Whole lot better than earthly math. Amen. It's kingdom multiplication. But that's how good your Jesus is. That's his heart for you. Is it a relationship? You think, well, it'll never be like when we were first married. No, I'm going to tell you what he does. He's able to restore your marriage to 120%. Yeah. Well, I had a good job, and I lost that good job. Well, you know what he's able to do? He's able to restore your career to 120%. Because that's his heart for you. And I want to tell you, he loves to us to interact with his life so he can present that. Man, I got to move along. I'm having too much fun. John 15:11 is also another verse that you can just write down the address, look it up later. I've told you these things. He's talking about his words. When he tells you these things, his words, why does he give us his words? He said that my joy, Jesus' joy. Now, Jesus' joy is greater than your own joy. It's greater than worldly joy. He says that my joy, Jesus' joy, and my delight may be in you. Are you delighted? How does your cup look in your heart? I ain't talking about half full, half empty. I'm talking about how's your cup? How's your heart? You say, well, I'm on the low end of things. Well, it's good news. Nobody here is throwing a Bible at you. We understand how you can get there. But I am telling you this, that you center in on Jesus. You surrender and lean on Jesus, because he wants to take that low cup And like David said, hey, this is Jesus, my cup runneth over. Jesus wants your testimony, your personal experience in him, to be a cup, a heart running over. With the good. With his goodness and his blessing. Is that exciting? And so, that's why we tell people you got to get in the Word. You got to be in the Word. All right? In this Word, I'm telling you, it's divine DNA. It's incorruptible seed. And that's why the enemy wants to keep you out of this Word. Man, the parable of the sower describes how that the birds of the air, that represents the powers of darkness, want to come and take away that incorruptible seed that lands in your soil. And he wants to steal it from you and to take it away. Why? Because he's scared. He's scared that that divine seed will land in the soil of your heart. It can reproduce the kingdom of God in your life 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's the power of the Word. That's the power of Jesus. That's for your life. And I want to tell you, as believers, as I'm saying in the title of this, joy is your birthright. Hey, this is part of you being a joint heir with Jesus. This is part of you knowing Jesus. Hey, you're a king's kid. And you get the king's joy. You get the king's peace. You get the king's love. You get the king's protection. Have I touched anything so far? You get the king's provision. That's our Lord. And he says, I've told you these things in my word. I've given you my words that my joy and delight will be in you, that your joy and gladness may be a full measure, complete, overflowing. Somebody, say your name before the Lord. Amen. I want that. Amen. All for T. Hall. I want that. Y'all got to make it personal. I shared with you about one of my heroes in the faith last week, about Dave Reaver. Y'all hear that? Do you know about Dave Reaver? I'm telling you, he's very precious. He's one of my heroes. And you know what? I think the Lord whispered to me that he's coming here to preach. Hadn't talked to him yet. But wouldn't that be great? Man, he was in Vietnam, and he was a gunner on a riverboat in Vietnam. And those guys saw very exciting action. And man, when it was on, I mean, tell you, it was full blown. And so he was a gunner on a riverboat there in Vietnam. And he took a phosphorus grenade. I don't know if you know what that is. He took a phosphorus grenade and was throwing it at the enemy, and it exploded in his hand. And I want to tell you, I don't know if you know about phosphorus grenades, but they're intense heat. I mean, they are a ball of fire in a small, but I want to tell you, it just completely burned his body. To the point that he was unrecognizable. And spent 14 months, if I remember right, 14 months in the hospital. A lot of surgeries, a lot of things happening. Can you imagine? He was burnt to a crisp. It was a miracle that he was alive. And so, he's received a Purple Heart. He's a Purple Heart recipient. And there's a lot of things I could say about him, but, you know, I'm kind of holding back a little bit because I want him to tell his own testimony when he's here. But one of the things that I love about him is his wife. And I don't know if he'll tell this, so I will. But a lot of times when these guys, and it still happens, when these guys are torn apart by war, a lot of times the wives leave. I mean, they walk out. They're done. He was burnt to a crisp, and she comes in. He's unrecognizable. She comes in. She looks. She reaches down to check his dog tag and looks at the chart and confirms that he is her husband. And she finds about the one place on his body that's not burned, and she kisses it. And she stays with him. I want to tell you, man, she's a shero to me. And, man, that just speaks a lot to me. But I told this story last week of him preaching up north. He told this when I was interviewing him on TBN. And he tells this story how that he walked out of this big church and between services, and there were some bums out there, and he just kind of went out there and sat down and was visiting with them, getting to know them. Police came, and they announced, assume the position. And he tried to say, oh, no, not me. No, man, they got in the middle of his business, just like everybody else, and said, assume the position. And really the story in this, to me, is that this is the position of rest that the Lord calls us to. Where we rest from our works, trying to accomplish Jesus' works, Jesus' life, by our own flesh. If you're here and you've tried to live the Christian life on your own strength and in your own gifts and on your own way of operating, and then you know you're tired. You're weary. You're wore out. You're burnt out. And I want to tell you, you can get sick and tired of being sick and tired trying to live the Christian life on your own. But he's designed us to lean on him. And so, see, this is the secret. The Christian life is not something you can do. It's got to be him. And when we surrender our strengths got to be surrendered, and our weaknesses to him, then I want to tell you, his power is manifest. His power is made known. And it's called the Spirit-filled life for a reason. It's called resurrection life for a reason, because it's not by our power, it's by his power. Hey, it's the love life of Jesus, because our love's not enough, my friend. But I want to tell you, it's also ascension life. I could preach on all this. It's called ascension life, because I want to tell you, the Bible says we're seated with him in heavenly places. And you know, that seating with him, that resting in him is so important. And I spent pretty well a sermon on that already. But he is the fruit of the Spirit. Easiest way to explain the fruit of the Spirit is that's Jesus. You know, he is joy. He is peace. He is love. And it's the Holy Spirit of God being expressed in kingdom ways in and through your life. That's our Jesus right now. And so it's the real Jesus in the real you. And so part of that fruit, singular, of the Spirit is manifested as joy. And we need to embrace this word, this Bible mirror, because the Bible says this is a mirror for you to see Jesus. Pictures of Jesus. You see Jesus in here. And when you do that, then the Holy Spirit shows you who you are, what you really look like. I want to tell you, there was a time this last week where I felt like a failure. Well, it took me a little bit to turn around and look in the mirror to see what I really am. But when you look in the mirror, even though you may feel like a failure, when you look in the mirror, you have to say, that's not me. I'm not a victim. I'm not a failure. I may have messed. I may have missed too. But I want to tell you something. What he says about me, the real Jesus, the real me, is that I'm a victor, not a victim. And so when I align myself up to what really I really look like by the Word of God, then I want to tell you, I can rely on that. I can rest on that and not be led by my feelings or my circumstances. Now, that's victory life. And that's something all of us can do, not because of us, but because of Jesus. I love that, don't you? And so that's why we got to be filled with the thoughts of Jesus. That's why he told us these things, his words. And so how you view yourself or how you see yourself matters. I want to tell you, this doesn't sound very sensitive, but I had the opportunity to tell someone recently that's been sick a long time. And they were talking about this and this, and doctors say this and this and this and this. And I listened for a while, and they kind of said, well, are you going to say anything? I said, yeah, you know, the problem is that you see yourself sick. Yeah. No, that's their view. That's how they view themselves. And I want to tell you, that's not the real you. I'm not saying that the facts of the medical world are not true, but I'm saying there's a greater reality. Amen. Truth has a higher realm than facts. And so even though what doctors say, that can't be your stopping point. You've got to go to what God says about you. And you know what? You got to stay in this word, soak in this word. And I want to tell you what God will do. He'll give you hope. And you know what hope will look like when it comes to your heart? You'll see in your heart, you'll see yourself healed. You'll see yourself well. And I want to tell you, that's where faith ignites. Is right after hope. The first one's love. I want to tell you, you receive that. You know what? God didn't do this to me. It's the enemy that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I want to tell you, Jesus paid the price on the cross for my health and healing, for my wholeness. And I don't have to settle for what doctors say. I don't have to settle for what medical facts are. I can depend and trust and lean on the Lord. And I can lean on the Lord. I can seek after the Lord. I can ask, seek, and knock. And I can experience the love life of Jesus right now. Even whatever name of your pit is, you can experience the touch and the love of Jesus right where you are. And you saturate yourself in this word, and he'll show you what he wants to do in your life. And that'll be on the big screen of your heart. You understand what I'm saying? You know, the picture you have on your phone and your computer, you know, that cover picture or whatever it is. Okay, that wallpaper. I don't know that term. Are you really? Okay, that wallpaper will be you healed. I'm just announcing to you. I may not know the terminology, but I know the principle here is that when you see yourself as God sees you, on the inside, guess what? Faith ignites, and with faith ignited, you can see what you see on the inside on the outside. The invisible becomes visible. Well, it may not be sickness. I had an example of that. But you know what? I'll tell you what the Lord's worked on me, and he's worked on me in that area. I wasn't a poster child for anything healthy. Still not, but I'm telling you, the Lord's done an amazing work in me. I'll tell that some other time, but you know, I had trouble seeing myself poor because I was raised poor. As a matter of fact, we were so poor. Now, we didn't know how poor we were because everybody else around Halls Hill on the backside of the paper mill in East Texas, everybody was same level we were or worse. As a matter of fact, we kind of had a little bias against rich people. Oh, they're rich. Something must be wrong in their life. I'm telling you. We had a biased view of anybody that had money. They done something wrong. They treating some people wrong. They got it some wrong way. They sure ain't sharing. You know, no, I'm telling you. That's a horrible thing. But see, that was the culture. But I'm telling you, if you're raised in a poverty culture, you're going to think yourself poor. And if you see yourself poor, then I want to tell you, when the Lord says that he will give you the power to get wealth, I have that scripture. Let's look at that right quick. I think it's Deuteronomy. Am I way ahead of myself? Deuteronomy 8:18. There it is. Look at this. Now, this is the Lord speaking to his people. He said, but you shall earnestly. Now, earnestly means that this is a priority in your life, is to remember the Lord. You know, we talked about that in communion today, to picture the Lord, to focus on the Lord, that the Lord is the center. What we say in New Testament language is let Jesus be the center of your life. Let him be the center of your heart, the center of your life. And you remember the Lord, and your focus is on the Lord. Look what happens. It is he. Is it you? No, it's he. It is he who gives you power to get wealth. Why would the Lord give you the power to get wealth? Now, I was speaking about wealth in another church a year or two ago, and they were a little offended by that, and I had to back up and say, well, the power of the Lord to provide for you. They say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so whatever term you're okay with, but I'm telling you, the Lord wants to be your provision. He wants to give you the power to get wealth. It's His power, and it's Him that gives it, that He may establish His covenant. Why would He want to bless you with more than enough? So that you could express and expand the covenant of the Lord to other people. I want to tell you why you're blessed. You're not blessed just for you. You and your two and no more, or whatever it is. You're blessed to be a blessing. To multiply and manifest the kingdom of God in other people's lives. To be a blessing to others. Now look, if He can trust you, trust it through you, He wants to trust it to you. Do you see that? And there's another verse. Is it the one before or after? It says, don't you dare. Well, I'll just tell you what it says. It says, don't you dare say it's by your power. No. And you know what? Sometimes we meet with people that say that kind of stuff. They say, you know, it's because of me that this company is doing so good. I go, I wish you wouldn't say that. Now look, the Lord use your gifting. He'll use your knowledge. He'll use your personality. He'll use your strength. Hey, look, you got the favor of God on you. He wants to bless your company through you. But don't you dare jump up and say, well, it's because of me. And boy, I hear that sometime. And I want to tell you, God said, don't you do that. You remember. You practice remembering the Lord. You can practice focusing on the Lord. You practice trusting in God because He's the one who gives you power to get wealth. I had a guy one time who was telling me, well, I know you say the Lord blessed me, but I'll tell you what, I worked real hard, and I'm the one that gave this and this and this and this. And I said, okay. I said, well, maybe you want me to pray that the Lord will take away His blessing so that we'll find out just how good your gifting is. He said, no, let's not do that. I said, well, we best be giving honor and glory to the Lord. And all the people said. Amen. I hope you understand that. Okay. And so here we go. So, you know, it's important because we're healed in Him. We're rich because of Him. He became poor on the cross that we might be rich in all things in Him. You know what? If you see yourself as a victim, you lose. I want to tell you, that's why we got to get in this Word, because you may have been told all your life you're a victim. You may have been told all your life. I was told all my life, man, I kind of hate to say this saying, it's a little East Texas, if you can bear with me on this. All my life I was told, you are as worthless as a tit on a boar hog. Now that's an East Texas saying. Maybe you've never been told that. I hope you haven't. There were other things I were called that I can't say in church. That I actually thought was a part of my name. I am not Spithead, or the version of that. But see, it took me experiencing the love of Jesus to find out that, you know what? He loves me. Unconditionally. Unfailing, continual. Whether I mess up my Cheerios or not, He loves me. Now, I want to tell you, that set me free. And then I found out that, you know what, by the overwhelming of His Holy Spirit in my life, I have more joy than I can ever express. I'm just learning in this journey how to receive it and how to release it. Wait a minute. Fruit of the Spirit. More peace. More love. How about wisdom? Anybody want wisdom? Anybody want self-control? You know, I'm telling you. When the Holy Spirit is ministering self-control in you, then you're not able to say, well, I just can't help it. My daddy did this. My granddaddy did this. You know, it's just us. No, man. I'm telling you, the power of Jesus will set you free. Okay, I'm having a little too much fun. Let me move along here. So this is why that we got to saturate our mind with the Word. If all we're experiencing is worldviews all day long, then how much faith are you going to operate in? When Achor, the Valley of Achor, comes across your path that Hosea 2 talks about. Well, if you're saturated with worldview or human view, carnal view all day long, and a situation comes up, you know what? You're probably going to respond in a human way. Now look, Christians face the same stuff, the same junk that unbelievers face. You know, that's not the question. Troubles come, trials come, testing comes. But I want to tell you, we have the birthright to respond in a different way. We have the birthright, the opportunity to respond. It's our responsibility in God to depend on the Lord and lean on the Lord and receive from the Lord. And when we receive from the Lord, then guess what? It's His fruit. It's by His power. It's by His love, because human love runs out in a hurry. It's by His peace, because human peace is just something without conflict. Conflict's here, no peace. No, with His peace, we have peace that bypasses even human understanding. Hey, by His peace, it will mount garrison. You picture a fortress around about your mind. And so you don't have to be tormented like the world is. You don't have to be tortured in your mind like the world might, because Jesus' peace will be a fortress around about your mind. Does that do your heart good? How about the joy of the Lord? How about the peace of God? Hey, how about this? How about the gentleness and kindness of the Lord ministering in your life? How about long-suffering and patience in your life? You know, when you run around saying, well, I don't have any patience with people. Well, you know, you're no, in the human, you don't. But I want to tell you, in the spirit, you can say yes to God. If you're saying yes to God, you can view a person that's being like a thorn in your flesh. And that's really what the description of a thorn in the flesh is. It's a human being that's being a pain somewhere else. That's the description of it. And so when you have someone that's being a thorn in your flesh or a pain somewhere else, I want to tell you, you can receive the love of God, or you can't. You can, you may not, but you can receive the love of God to view them through the eyes of Jesus. And you may hear the Holy Spirit whisper to you, you know, I was real patient with you. You know, you didn't get all this in the first round, you know. How many footprints do you have around that mountain? Well, I want to tell you a little secret. I'm just saying this. I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. I've got a number of them at myself. But I just got to say this to you. If you're pointing a finger at somebody else, you got three or four pointing at you. And I want to tell you, the very things that irritate us the most about other people is what we've struggled with ourselves. But I want to tell you, you can't dare say, well, I've got victory over that. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, the Lord was real patient with you. People have been real patient with you. Spiritual leaders, spiritual brothers and sisters have been real patient with you. It's time for you to be patient. Amen. Amen. And so I'm just telling you, trust. When you doubt, when you lack, when you struggle, it's time to trust and lean on the Lord. It's time to rest in Him. And resting in Him, and we did a sermon pretty well on this about how to wait on the Lord. But I want to tell you, you're waiting and receiving of His delivering. You're believing, but resting is believing. It's where you're knowing that you're loved, you're knowing you're receiving the hope, you're receiving the faith. It's receiving of the Lord. I'm going to walk through real quickly here. You know, let me just say, Hebrews 4 talks about this. And I want to say what happens when you rest, you believe. You see yourself healed in Him. You see yourself rich in Him, victory in Him. The Word transformed that picture in your heart from a failure, a victim selfie, to a victory selfie. Now, if you don't have that yet, there's no condemnation on you. I'm telling you, this is why we stay in the Word till that old computer system is reprogrammed. And so it's renewing of our mind that we see in Jesus. And you'll see the real you. I want to read to you right quick Hebrews 4, 1 through 12. How much time do I have? I got a lot of time. Okay. Hebrews 4. Therefore, while the promise of entering is rest. See, rest is believing. It's that position of resting and trusting and believing in the Lord. If you're all worried and upset and stressed out, you're not resting in the Lord. You're depending on yourself, full of anxiety or worry. That means that you're not leaning on the Lord, not depending on the Lord. And so the biggest battle for a believer is not the attack, but it's coming to the place of believing, coming to the place of rest. And so the Bible is saying, I'm going to get to this real quick, that whatever it takes for you to get to the place of rest, let's get there. That's the first move. Okay. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still holds and is offered today, the rest is for today. Let us be afraid to distrust it. Because I want to tell you, if you don't trust it, you won't receive it. If you don't believe it's for you, you won't receive it. Lest any of you should think he has come too late, has come short of reaching it. I want to tell you, Jesus has made it available for you today. For indeed we have had the glad tidings, the gospel of God proclaimed to us just as truly as they, the Israelites of old, did when the good news of deliverance from bondage came to them. But the message they heard did not benefit them. I want to tell you, you can go hear the greatest preaching in the world, and it will not benefit you unless you personally receive it and believe it, apply it. Wow. I get absolutely blown away about the people that are not even believers. I'm telling you, not even believers. Don't even go to church on a regular basis. But they can criticize different preachers, different sermons, different emphasis. And you know what? Hey, look here. Man, okay, I better leave that alone. Let me just say this real quick. When you're listening to a sermon, let's do what one of the great saints of old used to say. When you're listening to a sermon, he said, I will take the fish, and if I find bones, which you may find bones in every sermon, you know what? You set them aside. He said, I'm going to take what's good for me now, I'm going to receive it, and I'm going to digest it. Maybe one day that those bones may benefit me. But don't let, when you find a bone, don't let it hinder you from a meal. Don't make it a test of fellowship. I want to tell you, anybody can miss. I don't hit a home run every time I preach. You know that. And sometimes I say stuff and you say, I don't know where you got that. Yeah. Well, I try to be word-based. But I want to tell you, I can miss. But I want to tell you, if I miss, don't make it a test of fellowship. Hey, the Lord is your shepherd. Seek the Lord. And I've told people over and over, and I tell you again today, if the Lord's not saying yes to you about this word, relax. If the Lord tells you no by what I say, flush it. But I want to tell you, if the Lord says yes to what I'm saying, I want to tell you, you better receive it as from him and not from Tim. That's about all I can say on that. Okay. For indeed, we've had the glad tidings, but the message they heard did not benefit him because it was not mixed with faith. Everything we receive from God in this realm is based on faith. Now, we got to be loved. We got to have the hope because faith comes from hope. And I want to tell you, faith has to be applied. And it's got to be that. With the leaning of the entire personality on God and absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. It's more than just mental acknowledgement. It's all in about it by those who heard it. Hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Neither were they united in faith with the ones, Joshua and Caleb, who heard and did believe. There'll be people every Sunday that believe and receive. And there'll be people every Sunday that don't believe and they don't receive. It's like I had one pastor and he was needing a healing. No, it was before he needed healing. And he told me, he said, brother, I'd really rather you not preach on healing. And I said, I don't have to. I'm here under your authority, but there's a whole lot about Jesus I can present besides healing. And I said, but why don't you? He said, we don't need healing anymore. We got the Bible. I said, okay. I said, well, when you have a need, call me. And you know, it wasn't but just a couple months later, was it? He called me up and he said, brother, they're talking about cutting off my foot. I said, I don't believe that's God's will, man. I said, the enemy like to steal your foot. God doesn't want you to lose your foot. He said, well, I need a healing. I said, yes, you do. And I said, will you agree with me and let's say yes to Jesus? And you know what? Prayed for him, ministered to him a little bit. And you know what? To the doctor's surprise, because they were already scheduling a surgery to cut off his foot, for the doctor's surprise and for his great joy, you know what? The Lord healed his foot. And you know what? He's dancing around today. And you know what he says today? Hey, let me tell you what he called and told me. God heals. I said, yeah, I'm aware of that. Okay, praise the Lord, somebody. But he believed. Now the Lord will lovingly and gently bring you into belief. But I want to tell you, you get in his word, and that's where Faith is sparked. It's sparked in your heart. Those that did not believe should not enter. They shall not enter my rest. But see, believing is how you enter his rest. It's how you receive. We receive by believing, not by our doing. It's by our receiving. It's got to be personally applied. And for in a certain place he has said about the seventh day, God rested on the seventh day from his works. And it's all a picture, isn't it? And so he's showing us that, you know what? When the works are finished, you rest. Let me give you good news. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. He did the works for us to believe and receive. That's for you. That's for all of us. Seeing then that the promise remains over right now from past times for some to enter that rest, that those who formerly were given the good news about it and opportunity failed to appropriate it and did not enter because of its disobedience. I want to tell you what your disobedience is a result of. People say, well, you just disobey because you're just... No, I want to tell you, you first disobey because you don't believe. I want to tell you about your disobedience. If you're stuck as a Christian, you're stuck, or you're in a pit, then I want to tell you, very well is exposing a lie that you've believed. And I want to tell you, when you line up with the truth will set you free. That's why we point you to Jesus and point you to the truth. We don't use human psychiatric tricks. It's about Jesus. And you make it about Jesus, he's the one that sets you free. And again, he sets a definite day, a new today. Today for you. And gives another opportunity of securing that rest. Jesus made it possible for you to receive the rest. Saying, through David, after a long time, in the words already quoted, today, if you would hear his voice, when you hear it, do not harden your hearts. And so some of you are hearing a word from Jesus today, from the Spirit today. It may be about your finances. It may be about a relationship. Maybe about your kids. Maybe about your career. May it be about your body or your emotional state, the state of your soul. And I want to tell you, you hear his voice today, say yes to him. One of the ways that you say yes to him is surrender to him, submit to him. Lord, your way, not my way. And when you submit and receive of the Lord, guess what? I'm telling you, it's on. A lot can happen immediately, and it may happen immediately. It may be progressive. It may be a process. Jesus is saying you're worth it, and he's worth it. The kingdom of God's worth it. All the people you love are worth it. But he designed you to be free. And so today you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. One of the worst things you can do is hear God and say no to it. Because every time, and I'm just going to present this, every time you say no to God, your heart becomes harder. Let me say it in a way that you might receive it a little better. Every time you resist the Lord or say no to God or you ignore the Lord, your heart becomes more insensitive to the Lord. This is why today, if you're hearing the voice of the Lord, you need to say yes and you need to respond. Some of you have here and you've been in and out of church. You've heard sermons and say, well, I know the stories, but you've never received Christ. I want to tell you, you receive Christ today. When the Spirit of God is drawing you, it's important to say yes to God. Hey, don't leave here with the Lord drawing your heart and say no to him. Every time you respond to the Lord, let me get on the positive side of that because I love positive side. But every time you say yes to the Lord, every time you respond to the Lord, listen to me, your heart becomes more sensitive to him. Is that great news? What kind of soil do you want? Man, you want soil that's receptive of the divine, incorruptible seed so the kingdom of God can multiply in your life. Because when it multiplies in your life, remember, it's not just for you, it's for others. Hallelujah to Jesus. Catch that and give a shout. Okay, this mention of arrest is not the reference to entering Canaan. That's what a lot of people say. They look at the Bible and say, well, Canaan is our picture of heaven. No, no. If Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken afterward about another day. He spoke about the future. He spoke about now. He spoke about the season of grace that we're in, that Jesus has provided for, that he's destined you to receive rest. He did not design you to walk in stress. You're too blessed to be stressed. Now, I want to tell you, you're not going to receive that if you focus on the stress factors. But when you focus on the blessing factors, he can set you free. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. If he'd say, do not, it means there's a choice there somewhere. And we're the ones with the chooser, and I didn't bring the channel changer I was wanting to, but we got the channel changer. God gave you the chooser. And I want to tell you, you have to go against your feelings to do it. But I'm telling you, you can change channels. So then, there is still awaiting a full and complete Sabbath rest reserved for the people of God. It's for us. For he once entered God's rest has ceased. Who has once entered God's rest has ceased from the weariness and pain of human labors. Are you seeing that? See yourself in that. Just as God rested from those labors peculiar of his own. Let us therefore be zealous. Here it is. Here's verse 11. I'm telling you, you need to draw a stick figure of you right here. Let us therefore be zealous and exert ourselves and strive diligently to enter that rest of God. That's where the battle is. And I want to tell you, God's designed you to win that battle. It's by giving up. It's by surrendering. It's by reaching out. It's by receiving the promise of God, letting that rest in your heart, reprogramming your computer that, yes, this is what God says, and what God says is real. My experience is a lie. I'm going with what God says. Enter that rest of God to know and experience it for yourself. It's for you. Some people think, well, it's just for the super spiritual. There's no such thing as super spiritual. I tell you, I'm a mess. My wife would tell you, but I've asked her not to. I'm a mess. You are too. But I want to tell you, we can depend and trust in the Lord, and the Lord can show himself mighty in our behalf. The Lord can restore your love life. He can take your stale marriage and he can bring invigorating wine into it. That's what he did at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. Took plain, stale water and made it wine from heaven to celebrate the reality of marriage. He wants to do that. And so let's be zealous, exert us, strive diligently to enter the rest of God, that no one may fall or perish by the same kind of unbelief and disobedience. I want to tell you what the problem is not your sin, it's the unbelief toward God. The unbelief toward God will lead you into sin because we end up believing a lie. And I want to tell you, that can cause you to miss. And so we have a chooser on this. Philippians 3:20. Wait a minute, let me go back to 12 because it's just too good. All right, and I want to get further along in this. Okay, here we go. For the word that God speaks, there it is alive and full of power. That's why that even when the circumstances say the opposite, we don't have to submit to the circumstances. We can take the word of God and we can say, agree with. Confess means to say with God what he says about you. And when you say and speak the word of God, it's alive and full of power. Amen. Look how the Amplified brings it out. Making it active in your life. Operative. Energizing. And effective. Does anybody want that? It is sharper than a two-edged sword, penetrating the dividing line of the breath of life. You can't do that. No psychology can do that. No human can do that. No counselor. But God can. Amen. With the power of his word. The breath of life. The immortal spirit. The joints and the marrow. The deepest part. Jesus can take this word and he can do surgery in your heart, in your soul, deep down where no man can touch. Exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. I want to just announce something to you. You don't even know your own heart. You don't know your own heart. But I want to tell you, God knows. But I'll tell you what, that's why we submit and surrender the heart to the Lord. We present it to him. And he is the true heart surgeon. And he'll take this word and he'll set you free from any blockage in your heart. That's hindering your love life, hindering your flow, hindering your walk. He is able to do that. He said, I've come to bind up the brokenhearted. That's what Jesus announced that he was doing. And so I want to tell you, you've been disappointed this week, had your feelings hurt this week, you've been experiencing some pain this week. I want to tell you something about your heart. Jesus said, I've come to bind up. That's a medical term. He said, I've come to make your hurting heart healed. I've come to take your wounded heart and I'm going to bind it up. I'm going to make it well. Listen to me, brokenhearted. God wants to make your heart whole. That's something Jesus can do. You say, well, you don't know what I've been through. He does. And he's the great high priest. And he sympathizes with your hearts, with your hurts too. Okay, one more thing. And I'm going to just stop at this. Philippians 3:20 says this, we are citizens of the state, the homeland, which is in heaven. And I just love this. From it, we also earnestly and patiently wait. Somebody say rest. Believing, trusting in the Lord, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. We're citizens of heaven living on earth. So we don't have to live the way the world lives. Jesus said that they are not of the world. They don't belong to the world. Just as Jesus said, just as I'm not of the world. You understand, Jesus was here as a visitor to show what Father was really like. We're here when you receive Christ. You're no longer a citizen of this earth. You're a citizen of the kingdom of God. And your purpose here is changed. We're not like to have the same purpose as the world, to gather as many toys as we can or as many coins as we can, or to gather as many human style victories or diplomas as we can. No. There's a higher purpose. Our purpose is the same purpose of the Father, same purpose of Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's to reveal the loving kindness, reveal the heart of God to this world. And we reveal it to this world by experiencing it, by living it, by proclaiming it. And the problem is there's been a lot of proclamation without living it. And I want to tell you, when you are walking it, people want to hear the talking about it. When you're not walking, the talking is pretty cheap. The church is missed in some ways because we've presented a Jesus that's just part. He came for the whole. And he came for you. And he's a personal Jesus. And he's loving. He's majestic. He's princely. He's beautiful. He's so amazing that once you experience the amazing of his presence, I want to tell you, you walk away with the awesomeness of God. And when you see his glory, when you see the awesomeness of God, you want to do what he says. Nobody has to wrestle with you or try to talk you into it. I want to tell you, you see the awesomeness of God. Your heart responds to him. I'm telling you, you get addicted to his love. You get absolutely joined with the majesty of his presence, of getting to enjoy him and to walk with him and to talk with him, and that he's with you and he's never left you or forsake you, and you can experience the power of his touch in different arenas of your life. And this makes for a living witness, a living testimony. The Bible says we're to be living epistles. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to you? I'm telling you how exciting this is. That's your Jesus. Well, that's all I'm going to share today. And I love you so much. And why don't you bow, and I say bow, why don't you close your eyes and focus on Jesus? And would you say to the Lord this morning, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to see you as you really are. Lord, I want to hear your voice. Lord, what are you saying to me today? Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you. Lord, I surrender. You're my Lord, my King. I thank you that you died on the cross and you took all my sins. And you gave me your forgiveness. You gave me your righteousness. You gave me the gift of everlasting life. I receive of you right now. You're my Lord. You're my Savior. You're my King in this life forever. Would you just express your heart to the Lord? Would you just take that hurt this morning and lay it at His feet? Would you practice bringing your burden to Him? That disappointment, that hurt this week, that wounding, that pain, physical or of the heart. Would you give your expectations to Jesus? Would you make this personal right now? Because He's a very personal shepherd. He knows how to talk to you right where you are. He knows how to love on you right where you are. And you know what? Of all the situations where you're not, is not going to hinder Him. He crossed that barrier on the cross. He's for you. He's already saying yes to you. Would you in your heart say yes to Jesus this morning? Now, Lord, I just bless these precious people. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are making Yourself known to hungry, thirsty hearts all over this room, all over the folk that are watching. I just bless these people. And I declare in Jesus' name that You are being manifest, that the eyes of the hearts are being opened, the ears of the heart are being opened. Lord Jesus, I just proclaim an encounter with You, an encounter with Jesus for all those hearts that are turned towards You right now. We bless them with a witness of Your Spirit, with a consciousness of Your presence, with an awareness of Your love. Thank You that it's by Your power that we receive. It's not our strength or our goodness. It's by Your power. And I give You praise today, and we celebrate You in the name of Jesus. Now, if you're here today and you surrendered in some way to the Lord, and I just want you to give a witness to the Lord that this is real and this is true in your life. Would you just raise your hand before the Lord right now? Okay, very precious. Thank you for that. Anybody else that's saying yes to Jesus? Okay, thank you. Thank you for that. How precious that is to the Lord. And I just want to encourage you right now that we got leadership that wait around after every service to personally pray with you. It's not anything too big or too small. We love praying for you. We may not be able to do counseling today, but we will pray for you today. We can counsel you later. You're worth it. And so let's do that. This morning, don't leave until you get one of our leadership team and say, I need them. They'll know exactly what you're saying. And it'll be our joy to pray and agree with you the prayer of faith. Okay? Well, Lord Jesus, we give You praise. We look forward to You chasing us down with Your goodness and unfailing love. And we give You praise. And all the people said,